Welcome to 20 Minutes and 2 Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby. You that was the lamest intro
what?
In 100 and what?
78
178,
episodes.
178. You were like, welcome to 20
welcome
Minutes and 2
Welcome to
beers.
20 Minutes and 2 Beers. Well, no. I'm excited, Bobby.
You should be excited.
I've got a lot of enthusiasm.
It's not how that word is pronounced, but okay.
Enthusiasm.
Okay.
For a couple reasons. We are joined by our friends over at Chicago Beer Geeks. Mm-hmm. Nick joins us to talk about the state of beer in Chicago, but also a lot of stuff is going on right now in Chicago.
Yeah, with the Beer Geeks, they got a lot of stuff that's been going on this summer. He tells us all about that, and hopefully we'll get a hookup with them sometime in the future.
Yep.
Do something together. But the second half of this episode, JD.
Huge announcement.
We have a very big announcement. Things are changing here.
It's going to be huge. You are, and you, the listener, are going to benefit.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. we're hoping. We're hoping you're we're confident you're going to benefit from it.
Fingers crossed.
But, you know, 4 years into this, Bobby, we're going to. You know, take a brief look at that, but also talk about what is going on in the future.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. We will talk about that after our interview with Nick. But before we get to our interview with Nick, you've got some music you want to play.
I do. I've got a lot of great music. And of course, you put me on the spot because I'm like, where is it? My song is from Alter Bridge. Now, I played them a while ago. You cringed the last time I played Alter Bridge. He's walking away, folks. He is walking away. And I didn't. But he left the studio completely. I didn't necessarily want to go with Alter Bridge, but the song that I heard was unlike anything I've heard in a long time. So that's why I was like, all right.
Glad to hear that the people who were formerly in Creed are back making music, JD.
Three of them.
Three out of the four members. 75%. Yeah. Of Creed is what you're playing right now. 75%
but
of Creed.
The song is really good. It's called Cry of Achilles. Been about a year and a half. How you doing?
What's going on, man? Feeling good, man. Good to hear from you guys, man.
What are you drinking tonight, Nick?
Tonight, I'm actually drinking Creme Brulee. It's Hisham Southern's here. They're in northeastern New York. Yeah, so this is a stout brew with vanilla beans. It's one of my favorites, man. I can remember it was me and at the time she was president of Chicago Girl Pine Out. We went out to Naperville and they had an event and it was all Southern Tier beers. It's one of my favorite breweries. And they were retiring a few of their beers. Like I think it was maybe Mocha got retired.
Okay.
This is one of the beers that they had that night. And in fact, that was the last time I had it. So yeah, I love their stuff.
Nice. I'll have to try that one out. I'm a big stout fan, so.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a sip of what we're drinking.
We're drinking, it's called Backmasking. It's by Three Floyds. It's a it's an oatmeal stout. It's got a lot of flavor to it.
Have you had that?
I've had it at the pub.
Yeah, it's a cool.
It was one of those nights when the music was really loud, and all their beers were really heavy, and I don't remember what that was like.
Yeah, it's a good
stout. Yeah, it's got a lot of flavor. It does have a little bit of a vanilla flavor to it. It's good.
And it looks the label looks like a cover of an old Danzig or Misfits album.
It does. That sums it up right. I was terrified when JD brought it into the studio tonight.
Oh yeah. So what's been going on with the Chicago Beer Geeks? It seems like it's been a busy summer and your site's been hopping.
Yeah, we try to take the approach where we post, we update Facebook every day, and we always make it a point to tell people where we're going to go and what we're going to do, and then we try to post a story at least twice a month, every other 110 stories on the website. So we've taken an approach towards, just partnering with other people that we like hanging out with. So, for example, on weekends, I host the Chicago Brew Bus.
Yeah.
So it's a tour of three different breweries. It's three breweries in 3 hours, and it's a history tour in between locations. So that's pretty cool. We also started a weekly podcast about events with Brad from the podcast. It's called Chicago Beer Pass, and it's kind of an offshoot of what we do on Chicago Beer Geeks, where we just hang out and talk about what we did versus putting up pictures and words about it, so it's kind of similar, but it's the audio format, and I love the audio format. So we've been doing that, and then we have a relationship with Goose Island, so we're going to go out to a hop farm in Idaho next month. I'm pretty excited about that. So as part of the AB merger, the AB had access to this farm, and there's a hop shortage everywhere. Mm-hmm. So so the Goose Island guys went over there and they said, hey, well, we got this farm so you guys can plant whatever you want. So they got this beautiful, like a 100 acre farm in, I believe it's northwest Idaho. So we're going to go out there for 2 days and hopefully get some really good coverage out there, from all types of media, video, audio, lots of stories. I'm excited about that. So that's some of the stuff coming up in the immediate future. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I saw on your site today, your most recent article, Brewdogs is doing a Chicago episode. How'd you find out about that one?
Yeah, it was actually the Esquire folks reached out. And, I was kind of surprised because I didn't realize that this was something they had done. Like, I didn't even know they were in Chicago. So we talked about it. And they said, hey, we got some photos as well. So it was cool because we were able to post some photos of the Brewdog guys doing everything. But then they were also on the roof of a building. I think that's airing that might be airing right now as we're doing this.
Nice.
They're on the roof. They're on the roof of some high rise, and they're calling it a green beer. And it's St. Patrick's Day, so you immediately think, they just put some green dye in a beer.
Yeah.
But they use, I think they're using the St. Patrick's Day theme to create like some sort of green, as in eco-friendly, like LEED certified green beer. So I'm kind of curious to know what it all looks like. They didn't really give too many details, but we definitely want to let people know about it. And I told him, hey, you guys should shoot us over, the whole episode. So we'll see if they do that.
Nice. Well, there's also big things going on in Chicago brewing with Lagunitas joining the Chicago beer scene. What do you think the addition of not only the brewery here in Chicago, but also a tap room, what do you think that does to the craft beer scene?
Well, I'm really excited that, Chicago is a cool town. Chicago's a city of neighborhoods, and a lot of breweries tend to start up in, north of downtown, Ravenswood or Wicker Park. It's cool to see if we're ever going to take our place as, a world-class beer destination, we're going to have to take advantage of the fact that, you know, there's a lot of different neighborhoods in Chicago mm-hmm. and a lot of places to start a brewery. So, like Moody Tongue is in Pilsen, you know, which is just south of downtown, just south of the South Loop. And so is Mars Brewing, the Maria's guys. They got a brewery in Pilsen as well. So this is just west of Pilsen. It's a lot of neighbor space. And dude, it's huge. It's like literally the size of Soldier Field. It's 300,000 square feet. And after talking to these guys, apparently, you know, there's like some sort of water issues on the West Coast. So I get the impression, just based on sheer numbers, that they might be looking at running the whole operation out of Chicago, if necessary, you know.
Nice.
So, like, to give you an example, like, they've got this 250-barrel warehouse. I'm sorry, 250-barrel brew house, which is the same size as the one in California. And then their tanks are 750-barrel tanks. So in Petaluma, they've got 20 of those tanks. But in Chicago, they're planning out to have 120 of those tanks.
Wow.
So they could literally run everything they're doing in Petaluma. They could run it out of Chicago, you know, fivefold. So it's really impressive what they're doing. I'm really excited for those guys. And then, you know, all their stuff's always been, they felt like a local brewery, and they weren't even brewing here. So just imagine how it's going to feel now. I can imagine them making a real push to try to get their beer.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this is the start of a bigger trend?
With the Lagunitas thing, I think we're going to start seeing, because, you know, they're not like other breweries. They don't really depend on, like, the distributor to push their brand for them. You know, Lagunitas buys their own kegs that are labeled, and Lagunitas has a serious sales force that goes out and sells his beer theirself. So I think you're going to start to see, you know, in Chicago, you know, $3 pints regularly of the IPA and the pills. And, you know, you're going to see, like, more affordable six-packs. I think they're going to try to – I don't really see any other way you could take it when you've got that much beer to, you know, to make more of an imprint.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you see the price change. And, you know, talking to these guys, they were saying that they regularly overpay for wheat because apparently there's some issues with a lot of grains. So they overpay market value on grains to make sure that they had them. And then they're partnering with, you know, manufacturers at hot farms to produce new types of hops. And they're kind of telling the hop growers, hey, don't worry, you know, if it doesn't come out the way we wanted it to or you wanted it to, we'll buy it from you anyway and we'll just make the extract from it, you know. So they're positioning themselves to be ahead of the curve with regards to the amount of beer they're able to make on a regular basis.
Wow. You recently... I'm sorry. No, that is actually absolutely fascinating because they're doing it different, really different than anybody else. One thing I wanted to ask you about, the Beer House Local Tap Invasion. You guys recently did that. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's in a mall, man. It tripped me out, man. I'm like, dude, we're pulling into an outdoor mall. And then you go to this mall, and it's in Oakbrook. I think it's a Yorktown Center. So this place has 60 beers on draft, right? And then they've got a stage above the bar where they have this all-girl band playing. And it was cool because, you know how Chicago is. We have a lot of pride in everything. You know, I've been to Bears games in Texas, and it seems like half the crowd is from Chicago. You know, we have a lot of pride in everything. So, you know, they had this Chicagoland tap takeover. And every brewery that was on the tap list, about 25 or so, they all had something come out. So you're seeing all these brewmasters and all these sales folks from that you usually see across the city all make the trek out to Lombard, which was really cool, man. It's something I haven't seen in a long time. There's a concept that started for me. The first one I went to was at a place called the Thirst Tap.
Yeah.
In Roscoe Village. And it was the same kind of energy. It's just a different kind of energy when, you know, everyone's there that's making the beer. And then, you know, you go to places like Wisconsin or Colorado, you know, or even Michigan, you know, they get it. Like, there's a lot of bars that I met a distributor on the Blue Bus that said, yeah, I turned down like 10 different bars on my list that I distribute to. 10 of those bars refuse to take beer from, you know, outside of the state that they're in.
Wow.
You don't really see that a lot.
No.
I mean, Chicago's different, but, you know, we sit right in the middle of the country, you know, we're a big hug for beer, so. You're not going to see that here, but when you do see it, definitely a different kind of energy in the room, especially with regard to like tap takeovers. So that was a great night. I got hungry right there.
Well, as we wrap up here, what can we expect from Chicago Beer Geeks in the rest of the summer?
I'm looking forward to getting back out to the burbs. I think, you know, in Chicago proper, we don't really have a lot of festivals per se. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously there's like Fogab and like Beer Blast, but the really big festivals, you know, all the party licenses are already taken up, so a lot of big festivals are out in the burbs. So I'm looking forward to getting out to Naperville for the Aerial Fest. That's their second annual fest. The Midwest Brewers Fest out in Plainfield that sits along the Plainfield River. That's a really good time. Oak Park does its Oak Park Micro Review, which is that's the closest suburb to downtown Chicago. I'm really excited about that. And then we're actually on the planning committee for an event called Festival. So it closes out the summer, every summer. It's a fundraiser for cystic fibrosis. It's always held at Carmichael Steakhouse. They have a festival space in the back there, and it holds about 800 people. So this year is going to be a focus on just Midwest brews, and it's a good time. Live music, a huge raffle, and some really fun stuff. That's going to end this summer. So that's how we're going to be spending the next few months, getting out to the burbs and then making sure Festival is a pretty awesome event. So.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Nick. You can check him out at chicagobeergeeks.com.
Held the girl closer than was safe. Take what you want from me. I'm not afraid to turn around.
Bobby, it was fun to have Nick on.
Yeah.
We had Nick on, as I mentioned, about a year and a half ago, and it got me thinking a little retrospectively,
okay,
if you will, about some of the guests we've had over the last 4 years, 177 episodes. And here are a few.
No particular order.
We had one half of the Sklar Brothers.
Half a Sklar Brother is better than no Sklar Brother.
And that was a fun one. That was a fun one for us because we took a while to you know, work through to get those guys on.
Yeah.
And we were able to meet them afterwards and got them some beer. It was fun. Blue, a musician you were excited about getting on.
Yeah, that was
on
one of my favorite interviews because Blue is somebody I've been following since college, so I was a big fan of that interview. Although I feel like I sound like a bumbling fanboy during that.
Oh, come on. Well, and we both felt that way with Michael Bernard Fitzgerald. We interviewed him twice. Big fans of his music, but we got to not only go to his show, but sit backstage drinking a lot of whiskey with him in the green room.
Yeah, that interview was probably a little sloppy just because of the amount of Jameson that was imbibed backstage.
Oh, so much fun. Chris Cluey. We had Cluey on a couple times, and we hope to have him on again.
Absolutely. He was our first interview.
Yeah, he was our first big interview, for sure. I think we had someone else on
before.
Yeah,
we had a couple of guys on.
But... because, I mean, we had way back when, we were the, Mateo.
Yeah.
We had him on.
The Bodega?
The Bodega. Official Ramos. Official Bodega of the podcast in season one, I think that was. Wasn't it?
Somewhere around there. And we also had Andy on from the Binney's Homebrew Contest. He won the Binney's Homebrew Contest, and he gave us some beers.
Yeah, actually, he said he has more beer for us, so I'm looking forward to that. Liz Bell not only was on the show a couple times, but she guest hosted.
She took my job a few times. Yeah.
I think she said you're in a dumpster somewhere.
Yeah, she tried to kill me.
Liz Bell, an accomplished actress here in Chicago. Bob Bradovich.
I've had him on a few times, Wisconsin journalist.
Yep, television sports anchor and award-winning broadcaster. Ryan Burchett, we've had him on, too, talking about Mississippi River Distilling Company.
Is there a reason why you're running through these?
I'm getting a little nostalgic.
Like 2 minutes of
John Casper, Olympic bobsledder.
Yeah.
Had him on.
Recently.
Eddie Koffels of the Relevant Podcast. Emily Wells, big year for her, and we had her on. I'm running through these because it's been a fun 4 years. Now, don't think, are they signing off? No, we're not. We're not going anywhere, folks.
Well, we're kind of going
somewhere. Yeah, as we mentioned at the top of the show, some big changes going on, but we're still going to be delivering you some great content, but we're joining a new team.
Yeah, we're joining forces with sportsmockery.com. It's a Chicago-based sports and entertainment website. It's a really cool website. They have forums for everybody to be a part of it. And we had one of their guys on a few months ago to talk baseball. And we kept talking with them for a while, and we kind of worked things out to where we will be moving the podcast over to sportsmockery.com. You can still check us out. We're going to have a website as well. But we also are changing the name of the show,
which isn't a shock to, I think, many of you. And it's not going to be much of a big change. 20 minutes. Let's be honest, folks. We've never been 20 minutes. It was the goal, and once we got talking, we knew that was going to happen. So we're just two beers in.
Yep. From now on, after you get in touch with us, we're going to be two beers in. That's our podcast name, and we're actually going to be taking a couple weeks off. We got some big things going on. Yep. It's summer break. We got some things going on in our personal lives, and we're also going to be trying to make sure that the show is perfect. When we hit the ground running in August, we'll be returning the first week of August.
Yep, we'll be back and have a lot of what you've come to expect from us. Fun banter, love talking about sports, music, entertainment, beer, things that are going on here in Chicago. Expect that, because you're going to continue to get that, but you're also going to get a lot more. We have opportunity to get a lot more content, and we're going to get that to you.
And a lot more interaction with you guys, the listeners out there.
Yes.
Through this website. Not only is it a great forum for people to be posting, talking about things, but it's a great way for us to interact with you. And also maybe we'll hit the streets and see you guys out at some events.
Absolutely. And sportsmockery.com does a ton of that. They are constantly, there's events, they're, at local games, they are writing every day, multiple articles about what's going on. And breaking news. They're breaking news before what you may go to in Chicago for your sports has it. They're breaking it. It's a really exciting fast-paced site.
Absolutely.
And follow them on Facebook, because what they're providing on Facebook every day, I'm clicking on links that Sports Mockery has, because I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? Great information and quick tidbits to get you going through your day.
Outstanding. Well, I'm excited, JD. And I picked out this music essentially that I'm going to play here for this moment.
Okay.
Because unlike you, I'm not going to go willy-nilly into the night.
I did not go willy-nilly. That was amazing. You got to admit, it was amazing guitar.
It was very good guitar.
Amazing guitar.
I wouldn't... Amazing guitar. Amazing is a word that should be reserved for things that are really actually amazing.
Like it was Brad Johnson or Joe Mauer. Yes.
It was very good guitarmanship. But this song is one of my all-time favorite songs. If you had to ask me for my top 10 songs ever, and for me, what places a song in the top 10 has got to be, it's had an impact on me. And
is this Josie and the Pussycats?
It probably is, JD. It probably is. I'm not going to let you spoil it.
Okay.
Here's what makes a great song. All right? Great song.
Okay.
You can drive in the car at any time with it, and it comes up perfectly, right?
Okay.
You can work out to it.
Okay.
You can also scream at certain parts of it. You can yell.
Okay.
Those are three great musts for a fantastic song.
Is this on a Jock James album?
Has it? It is not. It's actually a very unheralded song, which is why I'm giving it to this moment on our podcast, because we're graduating things.
Moving on to big things.
And so
with
this
you,
is
the listeners are coming with us.
Tom Petty, it's off his album Echo, Room at the Top.
Damn. I ain't coming down. Look deep in the eyes of love.
Bobby, Tom Petty, I don't know how you work out to that. I'm sorry. We came in very different things.
Yeah.
You didn't really care for mine. Actually, you didn't mind mine.
I didn't mind yours.
I don't mind Tom Petty.
Yeah.
He's kind of in a Bob Dylan. But you like Dylan too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Bob Dylan at all, but I like his... I mean, songwriting is amazing.
Folk songwriter.
Yes,
but Tom Petty's not a folk songwriter.
He's a folk. He's
pop rock.
There's a lot of folk to him. A lot of influence of Dylan on him. Anyway,
I don't know how much of the Tom Petty catalog you're familiar with, but let's go to the six.
I have traveling Wilburys. Before we get to the six pack of questions, we need to talk about our beer. We switch beer to another Chicago beer.
Yep.
In honor of Chicago Beer Geeks, Nick being on the show earlier today. This is from Finch's Beer Company here in Chicago. We've had Finch's once before, but this is their new one. It is the Wet Hot American Wheat Ale. It says it is brewed and dry hopped. What do you think?
It's delicious. It's a good. It's not as strong of a wheat beer as most people think. When they think wheat beer, I think people think Blue Moon. They think Bell's Oberon. 312. This isn't as heavy. Heavy is not the word. It doesn't have the wheat taste, the strong taste.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can taste the wheat in it, but yeah. It.
Did you just say wheat?
Wheat.
Wheat?
Wheat. You can cream taste of the wheat.
It's got a little more hops than a normal wheat beer.
Yes.
And it's not as wheaty as a flavor.
No, it's
so
good
it's
stuff.
Good. It's solid.
It's yeah, no, it is good stuff. But we need to do our six-pack of questions, Bobby.
We need music to start that.
And we're going
to
start it now. I'll start off, Bobby, because I am a gentleman.
Yeah, that's one word.
I listed a bunch of interviews, Bobby.
Yes.
Which interview over the last 4 years of 20 Minutes and Two Beers In, as we make our transition, which of the interviews were you most nervous for?
Most nervous for would probably... I think Chloe was up there because that was the first big... name for us, so I was a little nervous about that. Blue was hands down the most nervous I was, just because I think I've been listening to his music for like 12 years.
Yeah,
so I wanted to make sure I didn't mess it up. so I that was one of my favorites, actually. Hopefully I can get him to come back after being such a fanboy of him.
Yeah.
Anyways, JD, soccer, U.S. men's team, did
They exceeded expectations.
Yeah. I was very happy with what they did. And the U.S. was happy with what they did. The viewing audience, it's the biggest that they've ever gotten.
Yep.
I want to know, how can soccer keep growing and take advantage of the surge that it got from the World Cup here in the U.S.? You're a marketing guy. You know these things.
There's a few things that they can do. And unfortunately, MLS doesn't have the money to bring in the big players, but try to bring in a few. I'm not just saying one. I mean, you brought Beckham in, okay. Mm-hmm. I made a little publicity in LA. Bring in a few of the big name players that we saw as new soccer fans in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Bring those in, and you got to continue to push the publicity machine. I mean, with Jurgen Klinsmann, with Howard, you got to continue to push it, not only there, but I mean, it's almost like a victory tour. You got to take these guys on, especially at the youth leagues, to get the swell to continue to build. Because I mean, I came full circle. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a soccer fan, but I appreciated the games and I was curious. I wanted to know what was going on, and I will continue to be curious. Well, now that the U.S. is out.
They got 10, I think it was 10 players from the U.S. squad are in the MLS.
Yep.
And then I forgot the number. It's the most MLS players that have ever been in the World Cup for their respective countries.
Yeah, but I'm saying from other countries.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the most from other countries as well. But
it shouldn't take much to bring Ronaldo and Messi to the What?
Start a Kickstarter campaign for that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you start focusing on other big international tournaments to start building groundswell of and it's going to take advertising. It's going to take Ford, Chevy, you know, Procter & Gamble, you know, to turn these people into, you know, faces.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, I think it can get there.
I don't think it'll ever be as big as the major sports here in the States, but I think it can be bigger than every 4 years. How's that?
That's good.
That's big. You never thought you'd hear those words coming out of my mouth talking about soccer.
I figured I would. Come around. It's that powerful.
Well, Bobby, you know, since I'm in a retrospective mood, I talked about which one you were most excited about, which interview. Which interview do you feel like you tanked?
Did I feel like I tanked?
Because I know there's some interviews you're like, oh, I didn't handle that as well as I wanted to, or I stepped all over that interview.
There was one interview, what was it with? I don't remember it, but I don't remember who it was with, but I remember my first question out the bat, you started almost cracking up because I started like shaking my hands because I knew like in my head I had a great question, but my mouth was not putting the words together properly, and I was getting upset, so my hands were like shaking as I was saying it, and then I finally said the question, I was like, that was proud, and after we were over, I was like, that was the worst opening ever, I can't believe it.
But we go with it, and that's how we roll here. Just
push through. I don't remember, I don't remember
who that was. John Casper? I feel like that one wasn't one you were happy with.
I don't know, it might have been. I can also say the Robin Ruddy interview I was unhappy with as a whole.
Okay.
And I'm not gonna throw any guests under the bus at all. I'm just saying I don't think we were adequately prepared, and I don't know how prepared she was for it. I don't know that she knew exactly what she was bargaining for when we set that up. That probably was those two moments were
your cringeworthy moments.
Like, nails on a chalkboard. JD, United Center was all Carmelo'd up the other day.
It was. They rolled out the red carpet.
They rolled out the red carpet. They say that Derrick Rose worked out while he was there so they could see him. Joakim Noah came over there. Taj Gibson came over there to visit while he was in town.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best way for Chicago to get Carmelo Anthony?
Derrick Rose needs to take an active role, and he said he's not going to. He said it's not his job. He came out and said that this week. It's not my job to court athletes to bring him here. I'm sorry, it is your job. You haven't done much in the last 2.5 years.
You can at least do that. You've got
really,
time.
Really, I mean,
Peyton Manning does that. Tom Brady does that when they're trying to get the people to come out there.
When the Vikings wanted Brett Favre, I mean, the players went and got him, and that's what brought him there. That's what he has to do to get people to want to play with him. And if he's going to still play here as a Chicago Bull. I really think that's what they need to do. I think, man, they have the opportunity to bring in some great people here to Chicago, and he's got to take an active role to do that. So that's what I think it's going to take to get Carmelo and potentially some of the other big names. I mean, imagine if they can get Carmelo and Kevin Love. I think that would be a big get for Chicago.
Oh, that would be the biggest get since the big three.
Yeah. I really think it would be a huge thing for them. And I'd hate to see Love leave Minnesota, but I think that would be a interesting move for him. So my retrospective trip continues, Bobby.
Trip down memory lane.
It does. It does. You've played some good music over the years.
Mm.
You've played some interesting music. I want to know the worst you've played, because
I know this one right off the bat.
You brought some stuff where you're like, you know, it may not be that great, but I like this artist, or I heard this one.
Here's the mistake I made. This was this season. You'd think like my biggest mistake would have been season one.
Yes.
No, season four. Didn't learn anything from previous seasons. Fan Farlow I like their music a lot. And they had a new release, and I was like, I'm just going to grab a song off their new release and put it on there. I think it was the lead single, and I had not heard it yet. And so I come into the studio, I was like, I'm excited. This is for sure a good hit, because I like the band.
Lead single off the new album. This
is gotta be good. And I remember we're recording, I introduce the song, I play it, and as we are listening to it, as it's going, I'm like, oh Jesus, what have I done? Oh man, and that was hands down the worst music experience I've had on this podcast, JD.
There you go.
Yeah. JD, not only has the U.S. men's soccer team gotten big ratings, but it's also done great things for Wikipedia. John Brooks, when he scored the goal against Ghana to put the U.S. ahead, he was the greatest American since Abraham Lincoln. and there were some other things put on there that we cannot say about the Wikipedia page, but it was great. Tim Howard recently, with this past game, he was renamed the Secretary of Defense for the United States.
I love
on his Wikipedia page. It was outstanding. I want you to create something for Tim Howard's Wikipedia page after this World Cup.
So I have to come up with like a new nickname or just
anything
a,
that's going to be a part of his Wikipedia page. People made him the Secretary of Defense. That's a job title they gave to him.
That it's hard to beat Secretary of Defense.
It's very
because
to
I mean
beat Secretary of Defense.
That is big. Wow. Yeah, I'm trying to think of something from Star Wars, like, you know, something to deal with the rebellion or cuz he's on the good side.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the Death Star. You know, he is that X-wing fighter. Could be the X-wing fighter. I don't know.
Could be?
Because he got the big wingspan. Yeah, that's lame.
That's really lame. Is that how you want to end our six-pack?
Wow.
Do you want to end with the X-Wing because of wingspan?
You know, sorry, Pittsburgh. I'm sorry. He is the Steel Curtain.
Ooh.
There we go. There we go.
The new Steel Curtain.
The new Steel Timmy Curtain Howard. Is Tim Howard, our Love Secretary it. Of Defense. All right, when we come back, last call, one stop away. Bobby, last call, what's up? What do you got?
Hutchinson, Kansas, JD.
Hutchinson, there's Kansas. Tornadoes happen there.
It's probably in Tornado Alley.
It is in Tornado Alley. Yes, it is.
You're like, is the entire state of Kansas in Tornado Alley?
Pretty much. The far west end of Kansas is not.
How do you know where Hutchinson is?
Because I know everything. I mean, seriously, 177 episodes and you do not know this. I'm disappointed in you, son.
I'm going to have to Google this afterwards to make sure you're accurate or if you're just pulling this one because you're really confident about the knowledge
have
of Hutchinson.
Have you been
Kansas.
To the west end of Kansas?
No.
There's nothing!
Well, there's more of nothing now because of what happened with Ginny Griffith. 34 years of age, she's now charged with arson after she set her home on fire.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, she set her home on fire. She used a cigarette lighter to set some towels on fire around 1:30 a.m.
Nothing
on
happens
a Friday morning.
Good happens after midnight. That's what
we
Mom
learned
says.
That from a TV show, which shall remain nameless because they had such a terrible series finale.
Hmm.
But I think she had good reason here, JD.
Okay.
What is my biggest fear?
Spiders.
That's why she was doing it. She was trying to catch a spider, and she was going to use flaming towels to catch it
what?
And burn it to death. It's unclear if she ever caught the spider, but what is clear is that the fire did require the fire department to come. Five units had to respond. Five units. And they said there were multiple points of origin. And the reason why she's charged with arson is because that the other half of a duplex, that's right, she lived in a duplex, was occupied when the blaze began.
Oh,
nobody
goodness.
Was hurt, aside from potentially the spider.
The spider, you're right. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand being afraid of them. I mean, I killed a spider with a small paper towel before this. I saved you, Bobby.
You saved me before recording? Was there
I
a
did.
Spider in the studio?
There was a spider in the studio.
You know what? I'm going to say this right now. Thank you for not capturing the spider and throwing it at me at one point during this recording.
Well, I was going to when you were bad-mouthing my musical selection. I was like, spider in Bobby's face. Boom!
Like, dang it, I killed that spider earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Or did I?
Uh-oh.
Hey-o.
There's still time.
Mine comes from Andover, England. Do you like your bank, Bobby?
Yeah, they're okay.
Some people don't like their bank.
Yeah.
And this gentleman, a Barclays Bank branch in England had to close temporarily because a man not pleased. He strolled in wearing shorts and flip-flops around lunchtime. And he was, the reports are, he was well-to-do. He was a well-to-do individual.
Well-to-do wearing shorts and flip-flops, okay.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. But he left multiple deposits throughout the bank.
Interesting. I think you only make a deposit at the teller.
One would think. But this is poop, Bobby. He walked into the branch and went around and just pooped random places. A customer said he saw the determined dumper. His quote was, "He didn't say anything at all, but you could tell from his face he looked angry. I wasn't really paying attention until I noticed a foul but unmistakable smell. I looked at the guy, and he was just calmly walking around the bank going in all areas he could." Now, he pooped on the stairs. He pooped in the lobby. And it was quite clear what he was doing, the police officer said. He just had a calm, angry look on his face, walked around leaving special deposits on the floor, and then calmly walked in. And then when he left, staff didn't know what the heck happened, and they said the stench was unreal. So the bank had to close. The bank closed.
So there wasn't any runs on the bank?
Like, well, no, no, no. I mean, he was dropping it like it was hot.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But could you imagine? So you're in there doing your bank business, getting a loan, you know,
and he's doing his bank business.
Yeah. And he is
doing his business.
He's doing some banking. He is doing some serious banking. But yeah, this guy just dropping trout. There's one all over the bank. Could you imagine that? Yeah. Makes you think, the bank on computer is the way to go.
Yeah, maybe mobile deposits rather than depositing in person.
Yeah, so you can, you know, put a deposit in as you're sitting on the toilet. You know, you're just,
you know. That's the better way to make those kinds of deposits from home.
Crazy, crazy. Well, it has been a fun episode. Big thanks to Nick for joining us.
Absolutely.
And also, as we mentioned, we're going to take a few weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
So sit tight. We'll come back. And you'll be able to find us. We'll notify you where to find us if we have to change where you normally download us.
You can always follow us on Twitter at @2beersin. That's never going to change. So don't worry about that. Our Facebook name will probably change, but if you have already liked us or a follower on Facebook, that shouldn't affect anything.
You bet. And our website will still be there. You'll still be able to follow us. You may get redirected. But if you log in, you'll be able to follow us. But it's very exciting. I'm excited for what the future brings and to be able to bring you, the listener, more content, more interviews, and just a lot of great stuff with us.
Absolutely. So we will see you in August. Have a good couple weeks off, everybody.
That was the worst opening ever. I can't believe it.